Well, good afternoon, everyone. It is 1:30 p.m. on March the 8th, 2022. Got it right this time. And time to reconvene the regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Toni Olson, Board President. In accordance with the Governor's Proclamation 2028-15, we are holding meetings remotely. I have with me this afternoon Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, Vice President, Commissioner Sid Logan, Secretary, Ann Spangler, General Counsel, Melissa Collins, Commission and Executive Services Director, Allison Morrison, Assistant Clerk of the Board, and Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please remember to mute and turn off your camera on your devices when not speaking. I will ask for questions or comments on agenda items as each item is discussed. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Some questions may take longer for an answer and then just during the meeting, while others may require more time. Please indicate if you would like to speak by clicking raise hand, or if joining by phone, dial *9. And attendees will be called upon to speak at the appropriate time. Commissioners, are there any changes or items to be added to this afternoon's agenda?
I have none.
I have none either.
Commissioners, I would like to add under agenda item 7D, commission business, some housekeeping items I'd like to cover. Comments from the public this afternoon is agenda item 3, and that is when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on this afternoon's agenda. Those comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Please note that all motions receive a silent second from the board, and this ensures that issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. I will now move on to agenda item 2A, Employee of the Month. Laura Zorg. Laura, I hope I haven't mispronounced your last name, but I'm going to introduce Julie Cunningham, who will get it right.
I have new wing of bat. No one knows where Laura's at. Sadly, not in this meeting. Let's see what we can do with this reading. Good afternoon, commissioners.
Good Lord almighty.
I know we're here to honor Laura Zorich, our number one Halloween lover this afternoon. Sadly, however, in her group's enthusiasm and, well, frankly, lack of experience, we somehow made Laura disappear in our practice for this presentation. But fear not. We reviewed the ingredients of what makes Laura Laura, and I believe we can bring her back in time for her to be recognized. So if you'll just indulge me for a few minutes, I'll give this cauldron a real good shake, and we'll drop in the special ingredients. Starting with positive. Laura is one of the most positive people we have working at the district. Everywhere she goes, she's a ray of sunshine and represents us so well in her role here for us as a community engagement leader. A rainbow, because Laura is wonderful at inclusion. It doesn't matter what your position is here, what language you speak, what culture you are, what planet you're from, Laura looks to bring all of those things together because she knows that diversity makes us all that much stronger. Go get her. Thank goodness for that, because Laura started her new position in February of 2020. Community engagement in February of 2020. It was almost impossible. So you had to be a go-getter to find small and large ways to keep us engaged with our community. Laura's always there for that for us. Then in goes this big heart. I think that's where we made the mistake when we were doing our trial run. We didn't put a big enough heart in. Laura, it truly is a caring and gracious, loving individual who's very kind. Big heart. along with that, she's an animal lover. She and her husband Lou have three rescued huskies and very, very bossy cat named Pocket, who better be bossy because with three big huskies running around, she's got to hold her own. Next, a very big portion of yes. It's one of the things I really love working about Laura on. She'll say yes. If you need her help, she'll say yes. If something is lacking and somebody has to step forward, she'll say yes. Laura will volunteer. She will look for additional work. She says yes, which is a really powerful way to be. Then I brought the extra part of glitter, because Laura is fun loving and glitter goes in, lots of glitter, happens to be my favorite ingredient. Lots of glitter for her fun loving side. And this would not be complete without the word deserving. Well, this is Laura's third time to be recognized. She's very deserving. Obviously people from all around the district agree with that. And I've got a shake of spice for her sassy side because she's got a little bit of spicy sassy. And she loves cheese, so I got a chunk of cheese, her favorite food. Got to put that in. I'll give this all a shake, see if I can pull Laura out of this whole thing. Well, close. A loyal dog. Laura brings loyal and kind and all of the many attributes that a good pet brings to things. Let's see now if I can do any better. Oh, trying again. Wonder Woman. Well, of course, they're so similar. That one is no surprise I pulled Wonder Woman out of the cauldron. One more time. Ah, here she is. I got the recipe right this time. So, commissioners, it is my huge pleasure, along with the rest of her group that adores her, who would also, if we didn't have COVID, be in the audience with their Halloween costumes on out of respect to our Employee of the Month, to present you with the magical Laura Zorich, our district lead on community engagement and very deserving Employee of the Month for March. What are you on?
I am. Thank you so much. I'm like, let me just wipe my tears away because that was very sweet. And I really appreciate the nomination, the fact that I, you know, yeah, it's been a weird couple of years, and I just so appreciate all of the people who have helped make this all come together when and where we can, and have the understanding when and where we can't. it's been interesting. I was incredibly touched and caught off guard by the nomination because it's, you know, it's been a weird, again, 2 years, and it's one of those things where you feel like you're making a myriad of different plans and then they have to be pivoted or, you know, just augmented in some way or potentially outright canceled. So it's felt hard, but it's definitely something that I really feel I could not do without the amazing people who I get to work with every day. And I am going to get weepy. Sorry. That is totally the way I am.
Told you she has a big heart.
And you will hear my dogs fighting, I'm sure, in the background. So I just feel incredibly lucky that I have the entirety of Team PUD to call upon or volunteer or voluntold to be part of all of these activities that we've been able to hold, regardless of the very odd times that we've all been. I am so touched that my three colleagues, Heather Herbst and Wendy Paris and Diana Kwong, had nominated me. They are just, everyone in my entire CorpCom team is just such a wonderful person to counterbalance sometimes when I get a little bit out of control. Like, let's do all of the things. You know, I've been told multiple times, no is a complete sentence. And I totally have a hard time with that. You know, clearly, you know, Julie, personally, like, thank you so much for making onboarding me again in this really strange time in a completely different role that we had not had prior to this. And everything just kind of got, you know, a wrench thrown in it, but being able to help pivot and direct in a positive manner has just you know, been wonderful. And I do feel like I have not just my coworkers, but I do have wonderful friends. I have been at the district for years, and I really just feel so lucky. You know, this is a decade at this point. So really feel lucky to have just such a wonderful team of human beings to rely upon. I know they, each and every one of them, will bring up something kind of cool or neat, or, you know, something that we can get involved in. And I love the fervent excitement that all of Team PUD has to just really get us to that point of further engagement with the community. And I really look forward to 2022 being a year where we can work towards, you know, our collective future, and just feel incredibly lucky to have wonderful people in my life be my colleagues, coworkers, and true friends. So
thank you. I bet the board will have some nice things to say to you.
Well, because this Commissioner Olson, I got a ID here. You're a three-peat. This is the third time.
Once just with the two. Team. So 20.
Once with a team. Well,
yes, that is true. Okay, fair enough.
Repeat. Do we have any others in the company that have achieved this? I don't know.
We might have had a couple before.
Oh, really?
It's rare. Yeah. It's rare, Commissioner.
It's rare, but it's deserved. It's deserved. Well, I'm so envious of the folks that really they get to work with Julie's group. You are so motivated, such talent, and it's you are an excellent representative of the environment and the team spirit that I know that the department is known for, and I think that's why you do such excellent work.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I met Laura in 2018 before I ever joined the PD, and she has been inspiring me ever since. And Laura, just want you to know that I and many, many, many other people just love you.
Thank you.
I think you do know that, but I wanted to remind you. And I think that it's so exciting to have all of your energy and ideas and, my gosh, spontaneity and authenticity, all of that just makes you a great role model for so many people. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, Laura, wonderful to see you here again. And thank you so much for all you do. You know, the work that you do to connect with our community, our utility to our community, is so vital. It's so vital to everything we want to accomplish in the future. And you do it in such a positive way. And I think you're a great positive role model just for employees in general, for you know, challenging the organization, figuring out a better way to do things. And so it's wonderful, and you got presented in such a magical fashion, so that's probably never happened before. It really makes you amazing. Wonder Laura where Julie might wear that hat, you know, the rest of the time. Grocery store.
I was just going to say, yeah, probably really. The grocery store.
Yeah, I was thinking grocery
new
store.
New trend
yeah.
going on here. I have to dig through my Halloween stuff.
Well, is that your birthday? Do you have a Halloween birthday?
No, I just really love Halloween. And I ended up getting married on November 5th. So we had a Halloween themed wedding. So definitely my 100% jam.
That was trick or treat, huh?
Oh, yes.
Commissioner, it is interesting, though, because she does have an April Fool's Day birthday.
I do.
So she is a holiday kind of a birthday. So it kind of goes together a little bit.
Thank you.
Well, Laura, this is Toni Olson. You know, anybody that likes the art trailer is thumbs up for me. And, you know, I was thinking, with the comments that you made today, you know, your enthusiasm and is so infectious that, you know what, I'd be first in line to buy a bottle of whatever you have.
Thank you.
Take a pill or whatever. I think you could make a lot of money on it.
Thank you, commissioners, very much.
Well, thank you all.
Thank you, Laura.
Good job, Laura.
Good job. All right, let's move on now to agenda item 3, which is comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public on agenda items that are not on the agenda? Please state your first name and last name for the record. Allison, do we have anyone in the queue that would like to comment?
I do not see any hands up.
All right. Okay, give a minute here. Let's move on. Excuse me. Did we have someone? I thought I heard something.
I still do not show any hands.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Let's move on to our consent agenda, agenda item 4. For A, approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of February 15th, 2022. B, bid awards, professional service contracts, and amendments. C, formal bid award recommendation to BNL Utility for request for proposal 22-1235-KSCIP. Number sign 54 for the Warm Beach Water System Replacement Project and Quilceta Excavation Bid Protest. For D, consideration of certification and ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. For E, consideration of a resolution approving Amendment number 5 to the collective bargaining agreement between Public Utility District number 1 of Snohomish County and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local number 77, for the period April 1, 2020 through March 31, 2024. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Now, we have a motion on the table. Now, do we have any comments on any of these agenda items?
I do not see any hands raised.
With regard to our call-ins?
Correct.
All right, commissioners, do you have any comments on these agenda items?
Just a quick question on the bid protest. I read the materials, and it sounds like, unfortunately, that the time for them to have said something is before the bids were open. Is that correct? And then we could have evaluated this and made a different decision?
Yes, Commissioner Clark Langstrat, contracts and purchasing, that is correct. Our bidders have two opportunities to protest once of any requirements in the bid package, and that's prior to the bid opening, which is the case in this instance, or if there's an award decision that the district is making, then they would be able to protest that after we've announced the award. But in this case, they did not meet the deadline prior to the bid award.
Yeah, I can see how it'd be hard to do much of anything after the bids have been opened.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I have no questions.
I have none either. So I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. The motion passes. I will move on to agenda item 5, items for individual consideration. 5A, consideration of a resolution authorizing the CEO General Manager of Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County to execute a property lease with the City of Everett for the siting of a community solar project. I will call for a motion.
I move approval.
Susie Overstreet is available to answer any questions regarding this resolution. And pardon me while I get to it here. Commissioners, do we have any questions on this? We were last briefed on October 20, 2021.
I have none. We were thoroughly briefed on this.
No, I have none either. Thank you.
I don't either. Therefore, I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
There's no comments on the public either.
All right. Thank you. I apologize. I will now call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. We will move on to agenda item 5. We did 5. I'm moving on to 6, right? Allison, am I moving on? That was 5, right?
Correct, number
solar
6.
Project. Okay, I got my pages turned around here. We'll move on then to agenda item 6, which is the CEO General Manager's Report.
Correct.
I apologize. My Vantage not working and trying to coordinate this is driving me nuts. So do we have, Melissa, do we have any reports?
I do have a short report for you.
All right.
The district's COVID testing program ended on February 24th. We had over 1,800 tests that were administered and 9 positive tests were identified. The program helped protect the health and safety of our employees during a time of high COVID activity. The testing team will continue to monitor the local health and district COVID data. Should there be a need to reinstate the program, the district's ready to go. Although the testing has ended, the district will continue contact tracing until further notice. April 4th, the employees will begin transitioning back to the office. The COT team will continue to meet and monitor the data and help support those transition efforts. Trade Allies, we conducted our first bilingual English-Spanish contractor training for a new trade ally. Special thank you to Manny Delgado Vargas and customer service for supporting our team in this effort. It was very successful with great questions and engagement. We look forward to extending the opportunity to other interested parties in our community. The generation staff and supporting departments continue their preparations for the scheduled 3-week shutdown of the Jackson project later this month. Contracts are in place, special materials are in hand, and the contractors are working to prepare the site for the scheduled valve rebuilds. All planned work is scheduled to be complete and the project back online before the 1st of April. At the Qualco powerhouse, the new generator is secured in place. Plumbing and wiring are in progress and final materials are en route. The Snohomish County PUD Compliance Department will be presenting on the Western Interconnection Compliance Forum ONP Audit Experience Panel on March 23rd. And the 2021 WEC self-certification process is underway. This is a self-certification process for compliance with NERC operations and planning and critical infrastructure protection standards. And this process is going well. And that is the report for today.
Thank you. Thank you, Melissa.
Welcome.
We will now move on to agenda item 7, commission business. 7A, commission reports. Do we have reports, commissioners?
I have none.
I've attended the early month meetings of PPC and PNUC and found those very, very interesting this month. There's a lot about growing markets, market development, and the WRAP, the Western Resource Adequacy Program, all of that is just fascinating. And so I am grateful for the opportunity to listen in, and I believe the other commissioners have as well. So those are really valuable meetings.
I agree.
I especially find that PNUC is some really interesting topics. They're a little more futuristic based often, and a little more cutting edge that I find very interesting.
Yeah. And that's a group that's a combination of investor owned and
right,
and public. So that brings another unique. Now I have added commissioners. I added 7B.
Commissioner Olson, you still have 7B and 7C before you get to your added on 7D.
You're right. Let's go on to 7B, Commissioner Event Calendar. Commissioners, do we have any? The one thing I did, oh, is that on here? The 11th? That came out. The policymakers PPC meeting on the 11th, that came out before, too late for the publishing of this, right?
Correct.
And do we have all three of us participating?
Right now, I have yourself as well as Commissioner Logan.
Okay.
I've not heard back from Commissioner Wolf yet.
Now, wait a minute. What was that? What am I missing?
It's the PPC fuel meeting on Friday. Melissa had sent an email earlier this week or maybe even Friday in regards to it.
It's about fuels?
Yeah, it's a forum for elected officials. We can resend it if you'd like.
I would appreciate that. I'm terrible. I get behind my email.
It's a new forum, Commissioner Wolf, that PPC is holding. It's for PPC members, and it focuses on a discussion venue and resource for PPC members, elected officials, and it's brand new. So this is the first kickoff meeting, okay. But we'll resend you the information.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I will be interested in tuning into that.
Well, they came out with it really late. I think that's, I just noticed it myself.
Okay.
All right. Do we have any others? I don't see any others out for a while. All right. Let's go on to item D, which is budget forecast and major project status report update results.
Correct. And just confirm that's 7C.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can I just say what I want? Sorry. I'm sorry. I am who I am, folks.
So, excuse me, just for clarification, I did report, and we all did, and we went over commissioner events, and now we're into C, but I did have, at some point in Commissioner Biz, I did have just something I wanted to speak about briefly. But I can wait.
Yes, that's the item that I keep moving around. Would you please tell me, Allison, which item it is now where I added?
You called it 7D, Commissioner Housekeeping.
Okay, that's D, right? So now we are on C, which is the budget forecast update. And Sarah is with us. Sarah, are you with us? Or is it Scott Jones? you guys are really wanting to give me a problem today.
I guess I just had I don't know if it's a question, but a comment. I guess I was surprised to see how much our net income ended up exceeding budget. And I was just going to ask Sarah if that was a surprise to us. I don't remember that as we worked on rates and
quite a jump.
Let me comment on that. I think Sarah's on the call too, but so if you read closely, we have a fairly large non-cash retirement adjustment that hit the books to the tune of about $43 million. And so the reason I popped on video was because if anyone looked at our financial results, the final accounting financial results, the natural question would be, how in the world did we get that number? It would be more fair from a operations perspective to add $43 million back to the O&M line and then drop the net income number by $43 million. And that's going to put us a lot more closely to what we budgeted. What happened with the retirement adjustment, and I won't bore you with the long accounting explanation, but at the end of every year, we have to evaluate what our retirement position is from a liability perspective and recognize costs associated with the Washington retirement plan. They've had a particularly good investment year or two, and so that plan is better funded than it has been in the last couple of years. And that's actually generated back to us a pretty good size reduction in our cost footprint. And so it's safe to say it's a bit of an anomaly, and it's an accounting wonky adjustment that doesn't really have anything to do with direct operating costs, but it does throw off our income statement, Commissioner Logan.
I see it now. Next time I'll read the bullets more carefully. That's okay. I read the table.
Well, and listen, I didn't mean to give you a hard time about.
No, that. It's right there.
It's buried in a few words there, but I will say we had a particularly good year in spite of some very bizarre circumstances with weather and with some cost increases, and so I think a lot of compliments to a lot of folks around the district for being able to hold things together in spite of some bizarre circumstances. But remember, we had record-setting heat in June and record-setting cold in December on top of a lot of storms and other things. So we were pretty happy with folks' performance.
Well, I am glad you explained that note. I read it. And the amount, and I didn't know what in the heck it was, but so thank you for explaining what it is.
Of course.
Commissioner Wolf, do you have any questions?
Not on that.
On that item.
No.
Well, let's now move on to 7D. Allison, am I right? Am I on 7D?
Correct.
Okay. I've added this as a kind of a housekeeping items that I wanted to share with commissioners. And there are four subcategories. One is an apology, two is training, three is travel, and four is a refresher on some of our governance policies. Apology. I apologize to my fellow commissioners, council, and the clerks. At the last meeting, the discussion on the minutes, I did not follow proper meeting protocol when I failed to acknowledge Commissioner Wolf's request to revisit the minutes. And further, I did not listen to counsel or the clerks when they tried to save me from myself. And for that, I do apologies to all. When I mess up, I'll say I messed up.
Apologies accepted.
Beg your pardon?
Apology accepted.
Okay. Training. This came up at our last meeting, and I thought I'd revisit that discussion because I'd like to. I'm not quite sure where we ended up, and in terms of commissioner involvement in employee training. And I think there's a concern is why is it is that not available to commissioners? And I would agree the PUD has excellent employee training programs. It's just outstanding. And from time to time, I might think, well, that sounds like pretty interesting. And then I sit back and I say to myself, these programs are designed for and targeted for specific work groups and in support of organizational initiatives. And so then I say to myself, well, I don't believe I was hired to do some of that. We talked about safety at the last meeting. You know, I don't think learning how to back up a bucket truck is going to help me in my job. And so I'd like to pinpoint this, and I'd ask your concurrence that should the board collectively feel that we need education and training that will help us do our job better as policymakers, let's have that discussion. And I would offer that because I think what we might come up with in terms of what we need to do our job better, I think it most probably would not be an extension of most of the employee training. And so I thought that's what I heard when we ended our discussion on the topic last 2 weeks ago. But I just wanted to come back to you and ask for your concurrence of what I thought came out of that meeting, which is the statement I just made.
So if I understand what you're saying is that if we need a training, we would ask for a training that would be just for the board.
Collectively.
Yes.
If we feel that there is something that we need, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
But let's collectively come together.
Right.
And I would just like to kind of pin that down so that we focus on us and what we need as policymakers.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the only exception that there has been, and it doesn't have to be, is the basic electricity course. I think Commissioner Wolf took it. I took it. I found it very informational. But I guess, you know, those are really up to the general manager. I think if the general manager wants to invite us to those classes, then that's fine. But I certainly understand that nearly all these things are intended for staff for very specific reasons or even laws. And so and we talked about safety, I think was the topic last time. And I think having, if we're all interested in it, having one just about us and the commission room and what we'd do if something happened, I think would be a really positive, and it would be, you know, designed just for us. So
if you want my thoughts, if I saw the list again of all the different trainings that were presented to us, of course, as I said in that meeting, I would not take the one on backing up. But there were several, I said, although I might need it. But that reminded me of the day I backed out of our garage in Spokane and ripped the door because I had forgotten to close the driver's door and ripped the door off. But anyway, that was backing. But there were several others that I thought would benefit us as commissioners. And a lot of time and work and preparation goes into those programs. And I just can't, I really don't understand the problem with our being a part of that. I mean, I think we need to be trusted that we would not say or do anything that would be out of line. And if the object is to keep us separated from staff, I get that. But I don't think it's helpful to the PUD. And after all, with respect to Commissioner Logan, it is not up to the general manager to decide what the commissioners need and want, because we hire him. We are the policymakers, and we have the overall responsibility for everything, really, that happens in the PUD. And so I feel like we have a great opportunity to do some of these things. Maybe, I mean, I can live without them, of course. I can take my CP, you know, the first aid, all of that at the firehouse in Edmonds, probably. But, you know, there were some really good things there. And I think they had to do with nutrition and some other things that I thought, yeah, that would be helpful to us to keep ourselves healthy, you know, healthy and safe, but especially healthy. So that's just my comment about that. And then probably tied to that, I guess, is not being permitted to participate within Women in Power, because what is the fear? I mean, I think there is a false assumption. I've heard this several times, that it would affect the group dynamics. Come on. Are you saying that people who work for the PUD wouldn't see us as women, just other women? I don't like that we're seen as somehow superior to. We're not. We're equal to. And we have some fantastic, very impressive women in this organization, many of whose names I see today. And I just don't think that they would be upset by having us as women to be involved in Women in Power. We are women and we are in power. You know, and so those are just my thoughts. I just want to share. I mean, if we are forbidden from doing these things, I will accept it. But I don't think it's fair. And I don't think it's a good use of our resources, planning, money, personnel, all of that, not to be able to participate. So those are my thoughts.
Well, we're not going to, I guess we're not going to have concurrence. I'd hope to step back and that a lot of them do look interesting. I'm going to tell you they do, but I know that they are targeted for specific reasons. And should we see something that will help us do our job better as a policymaker, that we come together, we identify our need for that particular thing, and we have someone put together a program for us, or, you know, it could be excerpts from something that the employees are doing, but I see us as our needs are distinctly different from the employees, because they're taking training for their jobs. If we have collectively believe we need some training or education that will help us support us in our jobs, that's where I believe we need to be. And my statement, I thought that's where we ended up at our last meeting, but obviously it isn't. So I guess that frustrations are just going to have to continue. I don't have anything more on it.
Commissioner Olson, we never really discussed it in depth at that meeting. And as I say, you know, if I'm outnumbered in my thoughts about this, so be it. But I think staying healthy and managing stress and a lot of the things that were offered, as well as the opportunity to interact with other women in power, I think those would be beneficial opportunities for us. So I just don't know what the fears are. What are people afraid of that they don't want the commissioners to have anything to do with these other people? And I think a lot of the things that were offered in the workshops that, I'm sorry, the name of the gentleman who presented that, what was his name? The man who presented on the different 7 or 8 programs. Anyway, I thought a lot of them would help us do our job better, but you know, that's just my understanding of what it takes to be a healthy, happy commissioner who wants to do the job well, wants to get all the training that is available and possible, if it's appropriate. No, I wouldn't want to go to something that is just for the people out in the field working, you know, no. But there are some things that I thought were generalized that might be helpful. So anyway, too many words.
Well, and I can hear where you're coming from, Commissioner Wolf, but I still, rather than for us to continue to get frustrated, let's have commissioners have a discussion on it. And not feel so frustrated that we're barred from, I don't know the words you used, that we are barred from doing it. That's not what I was saying. I was saying that we are a body. We have certain needs. And if we as a body want to talk about something that's piqued our interest, that's fine, but that discussion should be around how does that make our, how does that help us do our job? And I guess I'm not being clear about it. Commissioner Logan, do you have any comment?
Well, I guess my comment, and this gets back to my comment about the general manager, and that is we've delegated to the general manager most of our responsibilities, including development of staff. And so these programs are for staff's development. And I'm thrilled that we have a Women in Power luncheon. And we've had it for several years, at least since I've been on, as a commissioner. I think that's wonderful. But I think anytime a commissioner attends something, I think there's the risk of that changing or overwhelming the process. And so I'm fine with not attending these things. They're not intended for us. If we're invited to attend them, and we are invited to attend some things, like we've attended the safety, annual safety meetings, those kinds of things, that's great. But I respect that boundary between the staff. And I understand, Commissioner Wolf, you would like to partake of some of these things, you know, CPR training, those kinds of things. But I just don't think that's the role of the utility to be training us on those things. I understand why it's the role of to train the staff on those things.
Sure. So in the first year that I was on the board, I don't know how it happened, but we were invited to join the Women in Power luncheon, and I just had a ball and I sat at a table with some other women and we had many laughs. It was just so much fun. And I don't think I intimidated anybody, but you know, you seemed, some people who are on management side seem to think that somehow, because we have a different role in the organization, we would intimidate them. I do not accept that. But anyway, that's just my view for what it's worth.
Well, thank you. Thank you both. I just wanted to revisit it and I'm not sure I got anywhere.
I mean, can we agree that if there is something that's out there that we bring it to a meeting to talk about?
Sure, but if we do our own separate event, that's going to be more time, more money for staff, more you know, whatever. I don't think that's efficient use of our resources, but again, that's just my perspective on it. So thanks for letting me express it.
Well, I wish I could tie this up with a bow, but I can't. So I'm going to move on to my next topic, which is board policy. And in January, first or second meeting in January, I said as board president, I'm going to follow the policies that were adopted by the full board in 2019. And I believe I had concurrence from my fellow commissioners and understanding of what I said. And I know that we all have some issues with our current governance policies, and I get that. But when the board approved these policies, we agreed upon a core commitment that individual commissioners, the board, and the CEO would respect and follow them. And commissioners, I'm going to go on citing a few instances, but I don't believe that we have the luxury of ignoring them on a whim. And so this afternoon, I've got a focus in two areas. One on internal communications and one on coordinating commissioner participation in external events, external activities. And the clerk's office, on behalf of the CEO, is charged with coordinating and prompt attention to all of our work. And for internal communications, we're kind of hit and miss on that in terms of the flow of the communications, staff, board to staff, staff to board. And I just wanted to remind us that as a first step, commissioners must direct their requests for information, their comments relating to PUD business, requests through the clerk's office. That's the first step, not directly to an employee. Similarly, on the other side of the coin, in conducting PUD business, an employee's first step is to contact the clerk's office to help facilitate and coordinate, not to go directly to a commissioner. And I know that I probably see eyes rolling now. I get it. I understand there are differing views, but and those listening in might think, oh, these are particularly onerous. And yeah, they might be, they might not be. I would have a different view. But the clerk's job is not to censor or manipulate data. They only coordinate and facilitate it. And they are doing the job that we commissioners assigned when we approved the last set of policies. And so I think it's really simple and straightforward. And I would ask that we all remember this and to do it. It's hit and miss today. And to encourage all of us to be consistent. My second communication item is participation in external activities. And this, we, part of our job is to participate, you know, in external activities representing the PUD. However, I would look to, and I would hope that the board should look to the clerk's office to manage all of this, you know, to get us where we are supposed to be on the date and time. And if I were in their shoes, it'd be a thankless job. But when we are participating as a representative of the PUD, we should not be calendaring ourselves or registering ourselves independent of providing the information to the clerks, and they will coordinate it all, get us registered, get us set up. And additionally, now that, well, I don't know how often more we're going to be doing Zoom, but for me, something that came to my attention was without this central point of coordination, there can be an instance, which I experienced once, where unintentionally we had two commissioners at the same function, which is great. That's a great thing. Unfortunately, we hadn't noticed that on the agenda, which I believe the board talked about this a year or so ago, where there can be an appearance of a violation of the Open Public Meetings Act with more than two commissioners attending the same thing. And so what we directed staff to do was to make every attempt to on our agendas, our published agendas at the bottom, you will see certain activities listed. Those are activities where more than one of us is participating. And while it's a gray area in the Open Public Meetings Act, I believe we said we'd rather be safe than sorry. And the reason I'm bringing this up is this actually happened, maybe it was late last year, early this year. And I thought I was the only one attending. Another commissioner was attending, which is great. That is great. But my concern was, and so I contacted the clerk's office and they said, well, we weren't aware. So I'm just raising this. Tony is particularly sensitive about violations of the Open Public Meetings Act. And, you know, it to alleviate this potential, work through the clerks. Want to attend something, just let them know, they can coordinate it. And as the schedule permits, they can ensure that we have noticed these things on the bottom of our published agendas. So that's that on that topic. Again, commissioners, I said in January I was going to, when I see something, I'm going to bring it to our attention. And it's to remind us that we approve these things, and up until we change them, we're going to follow them. And those are my comments. And Commissioner Wolf, you had another comment. You said you had an item you wanted to discuss.
Sure, thank you. So one thing I learned is that even though in the district daily, I've been advised very recently that if there's an invitation through that, or if at the end of it says, if you have any questions or comments, contact the district daily. Well, recently I spotted just something that I thought maybe people, whoever is in communication, should be aware of, and it had to do with the passage or the entry about Ukraine. And I answered not to a person, but just to the district daily. I hit the thing for info at, and I said, it might be good to know that after Ukraine became an independent nation, they dropped the reference to the Ukraine, because it used to be a region of Russia and it was called the Ukraine, just like we would say the Maidok or the Metal. But now, out of respect for their nationhood, we should drop the. And I thought, you know, people who write, they have so much to process. I guess I feel unappreciated when I offer something like that. And it's not a grammar thing. It was in that case, a cultural thing. And I didn't intend to send it to any particular individual. And I thought it would be helpful, useful for anybody to know. And actually, the response I got was very courteous and appreciative. But sometimes I feel like efforts to help think, we talk about continuous improvement, but what's wrong with practicing that? You know, that's, to me, that's an improvement to get our cultural, I mean, I've done a lot of work, you know, in intercultural and cross-cultural communication. I almost did my doctorate on that. But anyway, I'm very sensitive to those things. And the better informed you are, the better job you can do. So I guess I'm always open. I want people to tell me. If I make a mistake, please tell me. I mean, you know, if I misuse a word, and sometimes I do, or whatever. But that's just a different approach to living, being open to continuous improvement. So that's what I wanted to say about that. And so it was not intentional to correct any one individual or even to reach out to any one individual, but to the anonymous district daily. And I think that as the overseers for the whole operation here, that we have a right, if we want to express something that we think would make it better. I just don't see the problem with that. But so kind of related to that, there's a letter that I would like to share with the other commissioners. So please tell me how best to share that letter. And it has to do with the Lower Snake River dams. It's a wonderful letter from a gentleman who for 25 years, he was the communications director for the Northwest Power and Conservation Council. And when I lived in Spokane, I knew his parents very well. In fact, John Harrison's father was the rheumatologist for my late husband, who lived for a long time. So, you know, I know John, I know his work, and I really appreciate his mind and the way he thinks. And he's retired, but he wrote this wonderful letter. It was kind of based on the what if principle. What if the dams were breached? How would it be? What can we look at as evidence for many other dams that were breached? And so that letter is about that. And I would like to share it.
Well, Commissioner, this is right on with what I just covered.
So how do I do that?
Standard, What did I just cover?
You said send it to the clerks, but then I've been told that anything they send to all three of us is the same as a meeting.
Written material, that's not the case, Commissioner.
Okay.
I don't want to belabor this. Send it to the clerks.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's an example of what I was just talking about.
I've been trying to go by the protocols and the rules. And
it's important that we do honor them. We're the ones that created them. So let's honor them until we change them. There was one more item, commissioners, that I failed. I had it on my list and I failed to address it. You know, we've got organizations that are going to be returning or have returned to in-person meetings. And I think the board needs to determine how and when we are going to do that. I'm not quite sure where we are. I think most of mine are on Zoom, but I think we need to make that determination. And also the determination in terms of related travel, like to some of the annual conferences. We have not been traveling for 2 years. And I'm sure John is working on instructions for his employees, but I see the board as a separate unit, and this is something that we should decide ourselves. So number one, and I've laid it out, maybe we can think about it and come back if we're not ready this afternoon to make some determination. One, when do we want to return to in-person? When I'm not talking about PUD in-person, PUD meetings, I'm talking about when we're going someplace else. When do we want to return to air travel?
Well, I think as far as attending things in person, we have been able to do that. There just hasn't been a lot of in-person events. So I've gone to chamber meetings, mask that, were scheduled through the PUD. I haven't gone to any recently, but so I guess especially as in Washington State, as we lift the masking requirement, I think we should be able to resume going to local events. I think we should be able to resume travel. I've got an Energy Northwest Participants Review Board meeting towards the end of this month. I have not got them back because I'm trying to understand what our travel requirements are going to be. I'd like to follow the staff requirements, but
You would.
I'd like to, but I also would like to go to the meeting. I'm just not sure where we are. I think the staff requirements allow travel if it's sort of unavoidable for something. So I know there has been some travel, but there's also reduced travel. Too. So I see that Anne has her hand up. So maybe Anne has something she'd like to tell us.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Loeb. And because John isn't here, I'll just share that the staff has been discussing this, the executive leadership team, and that given that the governor has indicated that the indoor mask mandate will be lifted on March 11th, we're waiting, number one, to make sure that LNI is in accord with that. But assuming that once that occurs, some of our policies for staff will go back to what they were before the pandemic in terms of travel and that kind of thing. So we are planning on that. We have not come out with those decisions yet. But and I think that would be helpful information for you.
Well, thank you, Anne. And that, I guess that's a determination that will we wait until we've received back information from John in terms of the direction to the organization, or do we want to make some determination for the board, only for the board? If we want to begin something sooner than that. And
it's certainly so close that it makes sense to wait. It's only a week away at this point. It makes sense to wait and see what John comes out with for the staff.
I agree.
Does it make sense that that would be a logical guideline to apply to the board as well? Yeah.
So I would, I think it would be good to consider whatever John and his folks come up with, but also we should have equal opportunity to offer what we see as pros and cons.
For John? For John's direction to the organization?
Well, we direct...
Commissioner, is that what you were talking about?
Well, what I'm thinking is that whatever the ELT and others feel is best for them, we need to hear that. And what we feel would be best for us in outreach to the public. I mean, many more people have been able to call in and participate while we've been doing Zoom meetings. And I don't know what kind of hybrid we might want to come up with, but I've been reading a lot about public and private companies that are really choosing to go hybrid. And so, you know, I'm open to whatever would be best for continuous improvement.
And I think we agreed to go hybrid, didn't we, when we went back to us in person. Isn't that correct, Melissa?
That is correct, but I think that's a whole different topic for another day, because we don't have a date to actually open to the public. That is still being worked on by a team through customer service. So I don't even have an approximate date when that's going to be. So that conversation with the commissioners about going back to the office will, I think, come at a later time. But I do want to comment on the travel for staff. The COT team has recommended to the leadership team that the travel restrictions be lifted as of March 21st. I think the concern with the commissioners is that we don't know. I guess it's not a concern, maybe is not the right word, but we don't know what's going to happen. Remember last year when they said, okay, no masks, everybody back to normal. And then within a month or a few weeks, we were back on lockdown. I think my concern is we only have three of you. And if three of you are at an event and end up ill, there's potential that we could maybe only have one commissioner that would be available for a meeting. I think it's entirely up to the three of you. If you want to be going to in-person events, then we will definitely support that. For me, I'm using extra caution with my staff for even a little bit longer, just because just don't know what's going to happen. They're going to open the floodgates and then who knows what's going to happen. You know, I'm hopeful, but I just am being cautious at the same time.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I have mentioned my interest, depending on, you know, the health conditions at the time. I would like to go to Coeur d'Alene in June to the NWPPA annual meeting. And so I've just put that out there. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm dead set on it, but couldn't change plans or whatever. And there are no plans yet. But I believe they're going to have an in-person conference, the annual meeting in Coeur d'Alene in June. And so if that is the case, I would be very interested in going. So, I don't mind wearing a mask either, even just for extra precaution. I will mention that in our own family, one person who had been vaccinated but didn't get her booster caught the virus, gave it to the baby, my partner's granddaughter. So she had it first. And then, of course, her mother was exposed. And now the father has tested positive. I think this in the last day of his confinement, or what do you call it, quarantine, ends today. But, you know, it went through the whole family because babies, you know, are not able to be vaccinated. So the grandma babysitter who didn't get her booster gave it to the baby, and then it went through the whole family. So yeah, stuff can still happen. I realize that. And I've been super cautious throughout the whole pandemic, as I think most of you have, I don't know. But, you know, I know people who haven't even gotten vaccinated, and that's disturbing to me, but I'm trying not to be critical or judgmental about that. They have their reasons.
So Commissioner, let's...
Yeah, I would like to go to Coeur d'Alene. Travel.
So I guess I'm hearing that we will wait for information from John in terms of his schedule for the employees before we make a decision. Is that correct?
Well, I think that's consistent with what we have been doing. So
okay.
I have been following, you know, per Allison, I've been following whatever the district's requirements are. So there was a time when I was able to go to meetings and the meetings were masked, chamber meetings. And then, you know, at other times when the levels went up, we quit going to those things. And so, you know, I've discussed with her in anticipation of the travel plan changing that I'll respond to the Energy Northwest meeting, which I think is the 23rd, in the likelihood, so they can make hotel reservations and stuff, in the likelihood that that will happen. But, you know, I guess we've been honoring the district's rules for staff all along, and I think we're almost to the end. So I'm fine with that. I think there is a larger argument about whether we have to follow those rules for staff or not. But
and that's why I was raising this.
Yeah.
But we've been moving along with honoring what staff is doing in this particular cycle of COVID. So I will tend to agree with you, but that's why I wanted to bring it forward so that we were clear on next steps, because PPC is coming up and they're going to have quarterly in person, I think. I'm not quite sure.
Yes, I think they're live in person in May.
Yeah, well, that's a month or so off. But anyway, in summing it up, we will continue on as we have been. And we'll wait until John identifies the instructions for his employees, and then we will follow those.
So Commissioner Wilson, so just so you know, that is currently John's employee plan. I mean, that was a recommendation from COT that the leadership team agreed to. So currently March 21st is the cutoff to begin back to travel the way that.
Okay.
Now, obviously that can change, or we might have it where it's, you know, for a few weeks and then we have to come back and do that. But that is currently the plan.
The plan is the 21st?
Yes.
I will say that to save money for the PUD, whenever there's a virtual option.
Yes.
I choose that. But APPA was totally in person, no virtual option. So we didn't get to participate in any of that. So that's the problem. And I know it complicates things for organizations like NWPPA, or I don't know about Energy Northwest, but to do both, to have the in-person arrangements and also do all the virtual.
Very complex.
Yes. So, I mean, I respect that. But wherever there is a virtual option, I would choose that.
Okay. And I know some of them are doing both virtual and in person. And, you know, as long as you're all in agreement, we'll just leave it to each individual commissioner to decide if you're comfortable going in person. If you're not, then there's the virtual option. We can do that way, or not go at all, or go all in. I think more and more of them are doing the hybrid because that's what they've been doing, but some aren't offering the Zoom.
Well, our next meeting this month is the 22nd, so that's a day after the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So the board, yeah, I can read a calendar. The board as needed, we can bring it up under our commission business and go one way or the other. How about that?
That sounds good. I will say I am looking very much to the time when the three of us can all be back in the commission room together. I think it's a lot easier to do that. I think we can, looking at you when each of you is a tiny little square on my screen, you know, it's hard to take those visual communication cues and stuff. They're so helpful when dealing with humans.
But I can stick my tongue out. You won't even know it.
You know, when we're in person, we don't see each other's faces at all.
I can look over at each of you.
That's true. You've got a point there.
Yeah.
But I do have one other thing I almost forgot. I do want to reinforce the concern that was expressed this morning when Gayla talked about the timing of the workshop on the lower Snake River dams. And I think we need to get that workshop organized right away, because we have a lot to talk about. We need to talk with the people who have been going to the meetings and acting on our behalf. And we need to learn more, and we need to find out what they're thinking. And so I'm just want to beg everybody who has anything to do with scheduling that to make it happen soon, not put it off until May. Because a lot of important decisions are going to be made at the end of July. And we need to have input on those.
Thank you, Commissioner. We are now moving on to our governance planning calendar, 8A. Do we have any changes to the calendar, commissioners?
I think so.
I don't see any.
I'm just looking at my notes here because I made some.
Well, on the to be scheduled, if we're all in agreement, and I think we were in the last meeting, we could put a placeholder there for Rob Bilder to talk to us about safety of the commission room. Of course, obviously, once we're back in the commission room.
That will actually be an in-person. We'll probably do a special meeting for that.
Okay.
Because we'll probably cover a couple things, because I think it's important that you're actually in the room and we have that conversation and come up with a plan with everybody together. So hopefully soon before we're back in the office full time.
Right.
So I'll just say it one more time. Finally, yeah, I hope we can get that Lower Snake River Dams workshop scheduled on the governance planning calendar as soon as possible.
We'll add that to the to be scheduled. And I know staff's working hard to get that together. So
okay, good. Thank you, Melissa.
You're welcome.
Now, will that session also, we haven't yet done that, whatever you call it, that process where it's not called Zoom, but what is it, where people will be able to participate? What is that called? I forget. Live. I thought that staff had worked out where not on TV, but there would be a way of live participation.
Are you talking about in the commission room
when
we go back? So it's still Zoom. There's a camera in the commission room in the back of the room that will project, show the room. And then we've been working with staff on the presentations so that they come up just like they do, just like now that they come up for those. So we're working out the bugs and trying to get it perfected, so we'll be ready to go. But yes, there is Zoom capability.
Is that something that could, in terms of the safety issue, that you could go over with us at this special meeting or whatever?
Go over the Zoom stuff?
Well, just logistically, what's that? Okay.
Yeah, we could cover that
I can hardly do Zoom meetings here.
You won't have to do anything, Commissioner. It'll actually be easier because you'll just be sitting at the desk, and then staff will take care of everything else. So yeah, it'll be much easier. You won't have to worry about Wi-Fi connections.
All right. So commissioners, that was our governance calendar. Do we have anything, commissioners, to add to it at this point?
I have nothing else.
Nothing more.
Melissa, is there any more business that you'd like to bring before the commission?
I have nothing.
All right. Well, it is 2:50 p.m. and we are adjourned.